I want to bring in Craig because parallel to this, he was dealing with a situation at the Red Cross. Craig was, he's now the chief operating officer for the Red Cross. Back then, I guess you were director of volunteers.
Yes.
And there were, if you can kind of take us through what happened, basically about 300 people were, they were passengers on Greyhound buses stranded at the bus terminal, and then there was no place for them, right?
Right. Nelson, what happened, though, it's not like the blizzard all happened at once. I mean,
right.
It was an unfolding event. And we got a call at one point that said there were about 50 people down at the bus station. And so at first, nobody really thought it was just a matter of waiting for the roads to open a little bit. So I believe at that point we took down some coffee and donuts and that sort of stuff and thought, well, we'll just handle it right here at the bus station. And then the wind kept going and the snow kept coming and more buses kept coming in. And all of a sudden, we've got at least 100 people and they're beginning to say, it doesn't look like the roads are going to be open. And, of course, we would hope that, okay, maybe it was just the Chicago road that was closed. But, no, it was also the Kansas City. And then pretty soon, they couldn't get back to Columbus, Ohio. So this just began to grow and grow and grow. And we had an arrangement with Zion Evangelical Church at the corner of North and New Jersey.
Uh-huh. So, that's, for the benefit of our listeners, that's right north of the downtown O'Malley's store. Of course, at that point, we didn't even have a downtown O'Malley's grocery store.
Right.
In fact, there was no grocery store of any significance downtown. We were still Naptown in 1978.
So we arranged, we took some cots down there and we took, the bus company brought the people over on the buses and we opened a shelter there. But we really only had room for about 150 people there and that soon filled up. And then over the night, more buses came in. So we opened up the identical thing, at our building, which is at 10th and Central. Mm-hmm. So, by the next morning, we had about 300 people at, both places.
Was this a diverse group? Could you give me kind of a...
Oh, goodness. Nelson, we had, infants. We had 80-year-olds. We had everybody in between. And, that always really provides a challenge, and especially in the fact that these people were not from here. They didn't know each other.
Right. They were strangers.
Exactly.
Well, so what was the tension level like, or the level of panic?
Probably that wasn't an issue, because I think the one thing that we did was I think if these people had to stay down at the bus station or something like that, there might have been some problems. But basically, the first thing that we did was take care of their physical needs. They knew they weren't going to freeze to death. They knew they were going to be fed. They knew there was a place to
sleep.
Now,
fed, that brings up, what kind of food did you have?
Well, that was interesting. We had a small cafeteria, so we had food the first couple of days. But, again, like I say, the blizzard just didn't start and stop at the same time. And so there'd be, we'd think, well, the streets would be open. Well, they were for a while. Then the wind would come and it'd close them up again. That was the other thing. You'd think you were safe. And then, boy, in 2 hours, it was all covered up. So, that became a problem because we didn't have, as you said, any grocery stores downtown. And we had volunteers that came in, and you mentioned the four-wheel drives. Actually, we didn't own one at that point, but we had some amateur radio operators that helped us, and some of them had their own Jeeps and stuff, and they brought those to help us.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, we ended up, and we called one of our board members whose husband had a wholesale grocery place. He went over and opened it up. We sent some volunteers open, but that's the only way that we were able to get the food to feed them.
Yeah. Well, this is a good opportunity. I see our phone lines have lit up with people calling in. I want to weave in just a couple of the facts about the blizzard so younger people understand exactly why it was considered so bad, the worst in our history. By the way, the total snowfall amount for January of 78 was 30.6 inches of snow. That set a monthly record for the city, 30.6. Well, here's what happened on the 25th. There was already more than 5 inches of snow on the ground. Then, within a 34-hour period, we got 15 and a half more. This is what was going on while Peggy was trying to get to the hospital and everything. So if there had been no wind, you're talking about snowfall mounds of 21 inches. Instead, though, we had fierce winds. The winds reached 55 miles an hour. So with all that gusting, Peggy used the phrase whiteout, that's what went on. You couldn't see your hand in front of you. People would often have 10 feet of snow piled in front of their doors. That's why they couldn't get out. The wind chill was minus 51 degrees. The only thing that wasn't horrendous was the air temperature. That hovered around zero. Well, heck, it's almost that cold today, and I guess tomorrow it'll be below zero. So the air temperature didn't break records. But we had all these dark and stormy nights right in a row like this, making this blizzard so horrendous.